A corporate manager, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And let the record show that all council members are present. Now I'll turn it over to the Planning Commission Chair.
Please let the record show that all planning commissioners are present.
All right. And we're going to start. This is going to be a joint meeting for an hour, and then we'll go to the regular Planning Commission meeting. So we will offer public comment, though, if you're here to address both boards together. Now is the time to please come forward.
Hi, my name's James Pauley, and I'm a citizen here in Morro Bay. And I've become aware of something that's going on with regards to the Harbor Walk and the boat yard that's desired by the Harbor Commission. And the Park Commission is working on that. So it's the Harbor Commission and the Park Commission. But I tell you, it's a fiasco. You've got the Harbor Commission that's been working on this program for years. There was a big report that came out in 1998, which said that a boat yard is not a viable proposition for Morro Bay. And that's when you had more business here in Morro Bay on boats. And prior to that, there were two boat yards in Morro Bay. As far as I know, they both went broke. Nobody could make any money at it. There are some boat owners in the bay, and they would like to have a place that they could pull their boat up, clean it off, and park it for 6 months or whatever. But then you're going to have a big boat yard there with boats all over, and they want that area that's down by Coleman Park, and they want next to the water intake, to the north side of the water intake, baloney. What they want to do is take what they think they can get away from what the Parks Commission or the Parks may have a right to. That boardwalk is great. That's one of the finest things you've done here. But why you put the Harbor Commission and the Parks together, those people that are in the Parks are at such a disadvantage. The Harbor has been set to go on this, and they're working on it 10 different ways. And they've got a lot of support. It's a very high special interest group. Enough is enough. Let's have some nice things for the citizens here. And everything in the Embarcadero doesn't have to go for the harbor people and the boat people. That boardwalk there, you have a nice place that you can view the harbor. You take that boardwalk and you can come around to the rock. That's all really nice. There's a nice beach there where they put in the kayaks. That is great. That's terrific. But we don't need a big haul out for boats. And you imagine how big those boats are going to be? And they want to park them as close to the water as they can because it's very doubtful you're going to be able to do anything next to the power plant. I mean, that's a big question mark. But yet they pursue. And when I see how they're being taken advantage of, it just irks me. I don't like what I see.
Okay.
And I hope you understand that. And you give those that Harbor Commission, not the Harbor Commission, but the Parks Commission, some support. They need some help from the planning group, from the Planning Commission.
Okay. Thank you.
What's the zoning down there? Who has the right to what?
I think
those people are so out of it as far as they don't have the information they need.
Thank you, Mr. Pauley. Okay, we understand how you feel. Thank you. We only have 3 minutes per speaker, and I'm sure you've exceeded that.
Okay, well, get with it, please.
So could we let someone
put your nose in there and find out what's going on.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Pauley. Could you use the timer next time? Okay, anyone else wishing to address both commission and council?
Good evening. My name is Marla Jo Bruton. I'm a resident of North Morro Bay. I just walked in to hear the last part of the last speaker's message that he has, and I think that there are a lot of citizens here that would agree with them if they knew what was going on. My thing with the city council and the planning Department are the two, well, I guess we don't have, there's a book on the market, and it's called Thirst. And it's fighting the corporate theft of our water. Now, the city and the Planning Commission are both involved as in the public trust doctrine aspect of protecting the natural resources of our community. This book has five different communities in it that have fought very similar to what's going on here, only you don't know it yet. By the time we get state water, that state water goes to Santa Barbara, then it's contracted to the county of San Luis Obispo, and then it's contracted to Morro Bay. How many Morro Bay citizens know that? How many know that there are four levels tiered down before we get that water? And what has happened to our water? It's polluted, non-potable. And this occurred after we went on state water. So somebody needs to do something, and it's not just a desal at 700,000, what, a million gallons a day at an even higher price. I want some environmental aspects looked at seriously and contemplated the sustainability of our community. Thank you.
Okay, before the next speaker, I would like to remind everyone that we have only an hour together with the two groups. So if you could keep your comments as short as possible, I'd appreciate it, because every minute you continue to talk, it's less that we have to do our deliberations together.
Good evening. Richard Sadowski, citizen, North Morro Bay. Tonight, you're going to be reviewing some projects, and what I'm interested in is these reports were handed, there's a series of four reports that were handed to the city council and was handed to staff. They've had them for months. In fact, Mr. Grantham, you even viewed some of the sewer collection systems that came out of the, that was used for these reports. Our collection system is in serious disrepair, and it's basically in a state of emergency. It's dilapidated. Why are you approving any projects until we address our collection system, which is already surcharging? This is a problem. It's a health and safety problem. Mayor Peters, I have told you this back in January of 2005 in your transparent meetings there, and you've done nothing but vote for more of the same, a sewage waiver. There's serious conflicts of interest within your staff. Your engineer, Dylan Shea Wade, has a serious conflict of interest with Montgomery Watson and Harza and J.F. Shea. J.F. Shea is a company that's worth $3 billion. Caltrans, Montgomery Watson and Harza, these are problems. We can't have staff, which is working for a developer, enforcing public health and safety when that's a conflict. Please, let's have some responsible local government. Thank you.
Thank you.
Honorable Board, Joey Ricano with the Ocean Outfall Group tonight, speaking as a private citizen and candidate for Morro Bay City Council. I'll be brief. I know you have a lot of work to do. Now, we all know about the marine reserves that have gone into effect on September 21st, and yet, if you look at the business about town, you'll see that led by Harbor Department, there are plans to create Fort Lauderdale Marina in the Morro Bay estuary. The time for urbanization of our estuary is past. If you wanted to do that, if that was the goal, it should have been done before the marine protected areas came to the Central Coast, because now we are the litmus test, and the world is watching California. California is watching Morro Bay. Now, I would like to read real briefly from Fish and Game Code 2850.
I'm sorry. Could I interrupt you for a moment? This is not our agenda tonight.
Right.
We're discussing. Could you
right.
wait until
but
the
see, but what I'm doing
begins?
Is I'm on a public comment. comment time, so no, you can't interrupt me. I know that you would like to silence this, Mayor Peters, since it's your votes that have consistently led this community astray, starting with the 50-year extension of the outfall lease.
We have now an agenda, Mr. Ricano, that now, I'm trying to stick to. If you would like to not stick to it,
I absolutely am not appreciating being interrupted up here. It's rude. I don't do that to you, Janice. Now, if I could finish. Now, the Fish and Game Code 2850 states, and I quote, that the area shall be maintained to the extent practicable in an undisturbed and unpolluted state.
I don't have anything. We just...
Okay. I don't know if you all got the email. I suggested that we go through this as much as we could ourselves and figure out what items we wanted to discuss and put in order of priority here, because we certainly don't have time to go through them
all. Madam Mayor, when did you send that? I checked my email just before arriving here.
Okay. Well, don't worry about it.
Okay.
I realized it was late. Anyway,
I've got a pretty good sense of what's important and not, though.
Yeah, okay. That's what we should do. So I'm hoping that by doing that, we'll have an idea. We'll all come up with some of the top priorities. So you want to start with the ones that you'd like to discuss, Melody? Or you want Betty to start? I know Betty had
I could start on a couple of them here. Obviously, I think most of us are concerned about the work program priorities, but we talk about them an awful lot. The second one about timing of public benefits, I'm very interested in. I also have a couple of critiques of Planning Commission performance or what they do there versus what we do. I'm also very interested in the downtown visioning. I see that I think it's Commissioner Luer has brought us something about downtown design. And that includes things like the electric underground thing Commissioner Woodson brought up, the pedestrian plan from Woodson as well. And I would also like to discuss the status. Where is our general plan at the Coastal Commission? I have a suggestion or two about what to do about that. And the rest I looked at, but I'm more entertained or excited about talking about these things.
Okay. Rick?
Well, first of all, it's a great opportunity. Thanks for being here and the big service that you guys do to the city. We all appreciate it. I'll go along with bullet point number one. Number two, and two, three, four, five, six, number seven.
Which is?
The priority for downtown visioning to include the undergrounding funds.
Okay. All right. And Bill?
I think I'd like to have us talk about number one, because sometimes we come up with ideas and then staff has to rearrange everything. I would like to make a couple of minor comments on the Planning Commission's operations. I wouldn't call it a critique, but that. And I would like to, since we just got this and haven't had a chance to look at it, I think we need to talk about a downtown visioning plan. Those are mine.
Okay. Betty?
One, two, and three.
All right. Got too many people who names start with B. All right, and I, too, would like to look at the work priorities. Definitely we have to look at that. And the downtown visioning and the... I have some concerns that I share with Commissioner Woodson on parking. I don't know if anybody else has, especially with shared parking and that issue coming up and how important that could be to some future projects. All right, so Nancy, I'll turn it over to you then.
Okay, excuse me. I have the never-ending cold thing here. I think poor Mr. Lucas down there has too. Let's start with him and see which of these items he considers the most important.
I agree with 1, 2, 3, and 7.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, and 7. Ms. Doreen.
1, 2, and 3.
Okay. Mr. Luer.
Mostly 7. And I'll go along with 1, 2, and 3 also.
Thank you. Mr. Woodson.
I could just go with 1. If we get through 1, that'll be good enough for me.
Yeah. And I think we have plenty here. I'm not going to add to it. Thank you.
All right, then, looking at the things that just had one thing. Melody, you said you had an idea about the status of the general plan, local coastal plan. Why don't you go to them, give us that?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. It was the only one I didn't get any support about. So it's a quick idea that the Coastal Commission is meeting in San Luis Obispo on July 9th to July 11th. And if at that time we have not gotten something back from them, frankly, if we've not gotten it all back from them by then, I want us all to go as individuals during their public comment and complain about it. And that will be at the Embassy Suites in San Luis, July 9th to July 11th.
That's an excellent idea. We'll carpool. Okay, all right. Obviously, confirming the work priorities is really important. So we have a list that's been provided, and are we in favor of the order?
We don't have a list.
Oh, you didn't get it? You didn't have that?
Yeah, no. Actually, no, it's
the last page of that.
Can we share?
Okay. Tied with that is the SB 1818, which is the density bonus and incentives program through the government code. So we'd be working on tying down incentives and priorities for incentives from the city as to what's available to the developer under that program. That has a due date ultimately. The fifth one is the safety element. That's a component of the general plan. We've worked through the Planning Commission. It was at City Council, and we need to return to the City Council. The sixth item is the medical marijuana ordinance, and that actually was, I think, given over to our city attorney to complete. The seventh item is the NPDES stormwater management plan. That is rapidly approaching. We're due back with comments hopefully in the month of March about our draft plan. Number eight is the draft urban forest management plan. PWEB is just starting to discuss that at some of their meetings. Hopefully that will run through the cycle here. Number nine is the CEQA implementation guidelines. 10 is downtown visioning. Number 11 is the landscape plan submittal guidelines. That one was primarily brought up by a past planning chair who no longer is sitting on the board. Number 12 is the PD overlay, the plan development overlay, and that would be looking at that. As we went through the zoning code update, council had contemplated maybe considering a plan development overlay removal of that overlay zone. So those are the 12 items off that first table.
Let's work with that first. And does anybody want to change order there? Anybody suggestions or ideas for changing order? Okay, question.
Mike, the subdivision amendment you just went through, and I'm wondering how come it's already priority number one. Is it because of the low number of staff hours? Or
no, we had asked council that evening what priority you would like it in.
That's for that track 41.
Right.
Yeah, Cabrillo.
And the safety element that was concerning building on a certain grade, and that's been resolved. We can bring that back and cross that off the list.
I believe the outstanding issue was the slope percent elements, and we can bring something back on that. Obviously, to sort of add a little bit to that, that is somewhat tied to the general plan that's up at the Coastal Commission. We can always package it. We'd like to package it with that. And ultimately, we're going to get comments on it. So we'll be looking at that again. This won't be a final draft of that. I'm unfortunate. I think it'll come back to us. So if we can get it up there with the rest of it, then we can have them all look at it all as one piece and then take another look at it as it comes back from them.
Okay. Suggestions for changes in order. Melody, you had one?
Well, I actually had a question.
Okay.
And I was wondering if we could do questions and then suggestions.
Okay.
What order? And it's a quick question. Maybe a longer answer, but the draft urban forest management plan, which is one of my faves, has got one of the highest number of hours here, 200 to 300 hours, the widest variance. Only your housing element, SB 1818, which I kind of remember what that was, is at the same level of hours. However, on 1818, you don't have any volunteers, but on the Urban Forest Management Plan, you've had lots of volunteer work. They've gone around and mapped the city. PWEB is very busy with this. Why would it require that number of hours?
Madam Mayor, I'd be happy to answer that. I think from our experience, tree ordinance has been one of the most contentious issues, and I think just given our history of stops and starts and struggling with the concept of private trees and public trees, we're speaking from a standpoint of experience in our own community of how complicated and contentious these issues can be. What we're recommending, though, is that on the public tree component of this is bringing that to the Public Works Advisory Board in May. So we may be able to simplify the equation for public trees and then get into the more contentious issues of regulating private trees. We have a lot of authority over our own trees, but when we get into what other folks can do with theirs, it gets a little bit more contentious. So that's the number that we put in there. What we were looking at all ideally was the ordinance to end all ordinances and doing one comprehensive tree ordinance and hopefully put that tree issue behind us or at least get good regulations in place. And that's where that number came from.
And I appreciate the contention on it, Mr. Ambo, but I think what we also need to appreciate is that when people see this coming, they're not just showing up at meetings arguing with us, but they're out planning to cut trees down. And that's always the nervousness with an urban forest management plan. So I think do haste on that. But I know it's going to take hours of talking to people.
We need to address those neighborhood compatibility standards soon and well.
Anyone else in planning have questions or comments? Mr. Ream?
I think there's been a tremendous amount of volunteer work done on that neighborhood compatibility. I know I met with some people just a week or so ago that had some excellent ideas, and I would like to see that. That affects the entire city, where subdivision tract 41 affects just a very small group of people. I would rather see number one move down a little bit.
Okay. Mr. Luer?
I think the compatibility standards are important, and there's been a lot of work gone into it. I'd like to see that resolved, too. I just handed out a draft proposal for some downtown design guidelines. This would fit in with the downtown visioning, and it was a small group of us worked together to put these together. Some of the original members of the RUDAT committee were involved with this, as was Bill, Commissioner Woodson. And this is something that I think we could implement without any cost to the city. This would be for future design, would be developer funded, and would just take effect on new development. So, and then also major remodels. So this could be a good first start that could be done quickly and implemented rapidly with a very minimal cost to the city. So I'd like to see this put up with the downtown visioning and moved up the list. I think that's really important.
Mr. Lucas?
I agree with the compatibility guidelines. I think given the, I don't want to say inordinate, given the realistic interest on the part of the community in that, as well as the fact if we're going to go to the Coastal Commission and want to know where our general plan update is, it would be nice to be able to put as many components that have teeth in there for them to review before they give us our approval. And then I like the downtown compatibility thing. I'm not always sure what the economic impact is of some of these things. I think sometimes it seems like our economic fortunes are so modest that it would be nice to maybe sometimes look at what the economic impact of some of these things are. And if we had some kind of impact with the downtown guidelines that would look like it would produce revenue streams at some point in time, maybe that's a reason to, you know, bring some of those things forward. There's almost nothing on here, though, that I don't think is unimportant. It's hard to look at anything and see it rest there for a year or two. I have a lot of affection for the CEQA implementation, but I don't discount some of these other things maybe having more priority. So I do agree with the compatibility standards and some concern for what the impact of the downtown guidelines might be.
Well, I think that gives you a pretty good idea of where we're going. I, too, think we need to get to work on the neighborhood compatibility standards. We've had a lot of public comment on that, and there's a lot of work to be done. We need to be sure we get it right the first time and not jump into something, but we still need to get started on it right away. And maybe actually the subdivision amendment for Track 41 could almost fall under that. Downtown visioning has been around for a long time, a lot of very detailed, expensive reports, and then nothing happens. And I really think that does need to move up someplace. And I'm almost thinking that the landscape plan submittal guidelines could, I know they're near the bottom, but we could maybe even look at eliminating that as a project. We've gotten much better. People who turn in plans have gotten much better. I think we're more verbal maybe than we used to be about what we expect in landscaping guidelines. And I think that's something that we could actually eliminate from the list, perhaps.
Okay. Council reaction to all of that? Betty, can we start?
Yes, I believe the reason that we put the subdivision amendment for Track 41 on the top was because we felt it could be done quickly. And for me, it's just a matter of choosing one of the two options that was presented to us, and the ramifications of those can come back in some other form. But I think if we just take the vote and do it, then staff will know which way to go with it. So I think that could be done quickly with minimal time. And so therefore, number two, I think, is, as most people have said, that the neighborhood compatibility is the number one priority. I, too, am disappointed to see it pushed off another 4 months, and I think that's inappropriate, and I think it needs to come back next month. Bill?
Well, I don't think we can expect to see it come back next month unless maybe other implications that we could reinforce in our general plan, because our general plan was written with a strong emphasis on smart growth strategies and small lot design. And this is the one area where we've got a degree of departure where we're enforcing a larger lot and prohibiting smaller lot design. So from our standpoint, we're looking at strengthening the policies for enforcing larger lot designs at the expense of small lot design and smart growth strategies. So if you can, that's kind of what our thought process was. I mean, we could come and get back with a quick amendment to get at this, but we're just kind of doing the arm waving at this point to say, if you're asking us our opinion, I think there's a better way to do it that would put us in better protection in terms of our policy alignment that would reach into the general plan. And we just want to make sure that we're not sending ripples across other pieces of the code that may cause complications further on. So we didn't get a chance to really comment on that. That was what we were going to follow up with at your next meeting, and what we would do when we recommended this kind of surgical strike with the subdivision ordinance. So I'm sorry if I complicated the picture for you.
I'm not quite sure what you're saying. Are you saying that it should be done first or it shouldn't be done first? Then?
I think we'll do whatever. We'll either one of them. We can work on either one of them first, or we don't have a strong preference. In all honesty, we're not having a rush on big homes, and we're not having a rush on subdivision proposals in that neighborhood. So it's really not that big of a problem from where we sit. But if you want to get to it, we'll certainly get right to it.
Okay.
Mayor, if I can, one of the other things, I've heard a lot of discussion on the visioning, and you may recall I drafted a memo to you a few years ago about visioning, and what we had kind of hoped to do was, if the general plan ever did break loose of the Coastal Commission, to begin that process with visioning and do it from the ground up, because everybody is not so familiar with it. And that's kind of how we were looking to package the visioning, was when we had the general plan, it could really get something done with, you know, long-term growth strategies or growth management strategies for the community.
So that's, you're saying that working on the visioning ahead of that would be counterproductive or not?
Not really, but I think we'd get more value out of the process. And we were actually going to apply for grant funding to do that whenever
we got the general plan back. And so that's kind of what we had hoped for, so that we could do a structured meeting and get community input and participation and get at the general plan once it came back. It's been years since we've been in the process with it, and everybody's probably forgot about it.
Okay.
So that's kind of what we were looking at for visioning.
Okay. Bill, did you have any other comments?
Only to say that, to talk about downtown visioning, we have had so many times, we've had groups from Cal Poly, we did the mini Rudat and all of that, and we've gotten some wonderful ideas, wonderful plans and pictures, and they go into a drawer somewhere never to be seen again, because it's always something that requires us to clear the decks, take that on, and put some copious quantities of money in it. And I think it would be really neat to come up with a vision for the downtown and try to work towards it, but I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see us do it, but I don't know when that would happen based on what you've just said and all the other things that have come up involved with that, absentee owners of businesses and everything else. It's pretty tough to get cooperation around here.
Okay, Rick.
Yeah, I'm for staying with number two, but, you know, I feel the CEQA implementation is very important, and I also have to say that I think we need to realize that in the future we may have to be very flexible, because I think when we get this storm drain water management plan and the reports from that, and there's other entities involved that come in when those reports come in, and it has the potential to kind of put a halt to everything, and with everything going toward that particular issue. But until that raises its head, I concur with the neighborhood compatibility, and I'd also like to see some CEQA implementation guidelines.
Okay. Melody?
I want number one kept at the top. It's only 20 hours. It's 3 days. Get it done. It's a sentence. Number two is I want kept at, right after that. It's another example, as Commissioner Ream talked about. Both of those, citizens have done the legwork. Citizens want these things so badly that they have done a lot of work for the city. I want them taken care of. Number seven, the MPDES stormwater management plan. I think that we probably have some state, basically.
Okay. I tend to agree with what Nancy said about the landscape plans and middle guides. I think maybe that could be dropped off. I think it isn't as much an issue as it was previously. Does everybody agree with that? Yeah?
Go ahead.
Make comments.
Any more comments?
I think we could just establish that as a guideline in the Planning Commission for plans that are submitted. I think that can just be one of those issues that this is what we expect. We expect we expect a set of plans, and we expect a landscape plan to come with that.
Yeah.
So I don't think this would have to be a lot of work for to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been asking for drought-tolerant Mediterranean or native plantings. So I think that will carry over, I think, because it's not just us. It's pretty much a movement.
Staff, do you feel that that's enough direction that they've been giving, that that's obvious when you have applicants come in? Okay, does everyone agree that we can?
Yeah.
I just have a question. Mr. Ambo, what plans require landscaping to be submitted and what kinds of plans don't? Like, I assume subdivisions require landscaping, but maybe single-family homes don't?
I believe so. Mike
familiar?
Works with the code every day.
Typically, the plans are a plan development overlay that require landscape plans. Single family does not. Multifamily does. Not every subdivision does, depending on where it's located, visibility-wise, whether it's in a PD overlay, whether or not homes are proposed at the time of the subdivision. So
that sounds low. Here, there, but not there. So I don't know that I'm interested in dropping it. I'd be glad to keep it at the bottom,
okay.
But I'm not sure if I want to drop it.
Well, the bottom is pretty far away, so I think that's probably fair. Okay, why don't we move the number 11 down? And I would say that should move under the two future agenda items, too, the pedestrian plan and the second residential unit, which we didn't even get into, but I think those probably would be more pertinent issues right now than a landscape plan. Would people agree with that? Okay, we have consensus on that. So we're moving 11 down to the way bottom there. Okay. As far as the safety element, the medical marijuana ordinance, and the annexation, those are kind of happening as we speak, right?
Medical marijuana is safety element. The trail's kind of gone cold, but we can certainly pick up on that. One of the other things along the lines we were mentioning, if any of these other things get free, we would certainly come back to you and say, we've got the general plan.
Yeah.
Do you want us to,
obviously.
Where do you want to put that?
Right.
And if, as Councilman Grantham was mentioning, if any of these things come through, like NPDS, the zoning ordinance, the general plan, any of those, then we'll ask for direction at that time.
Well, the reason I asked about the annexation and those things is because I think if they're already in process, we don't want to necessarily put them at the bottom of the list, but we can certainly work around them. I agree with the subdivision amendment staying where it is because it's quick and it is something that, again, the citizens have worked on. If it was going to be 120 hours versus the neighborhood compatibility, I would say definitely put neighborhood compatibility first. But since it's so short, I'd like to see that done, too. And I agree, neighborhood compatibility, too. I'm concerned about the stormwater management plan. And downtown visioning, I guess I could agree that it should come back with a general plan. That seems a logical time to have the town hall meetings and everything that you need to create those visions. So do we feel like we have a consensus here? Do you feel like you have some direction? Okay. All right. Then the other things. Timing of public benefits. Several people wanted to talk about that. And did you have some specific things you wanted to discuss with that you've been running into on the Planning Commission?
Well, I think our prime example is the corner of Main and Driftwood. We really kind of lost a lot there, and we want to be sure that kind of thing doesn't happen again. You know, we took some steps. I know you haven't seen the seashell properties yet. It'll be coming to you, but we did add some things there in terms of timing and when things need to be done before other things can be done. So we're hoping that can go forward. Any other comments on that? What did I miss? Oh, Bill has one.
We just reviewed a preliminary plan for GAFCO Harbor Hut for their new lease requirements that included many public benefits.
Really, one has to do with our lease sites, and certainly that's up to the Planning Commission and Council when we get direction on those lease negotiations, and we can write anything into those leases that you deem appropriate, and we just take your direction as those projects come forward, taking into consideration the feasibility of doing them on public improvements. The other issue I hear is the Main and Driftwood, which staff has spent tremendous time on making sure that doesn't happen. That had to do with the affordable housing element, making that go forward. So I don't know if I call that a public benefit. It is, but it was an affordable housing component. And that's all new law. That was under SB 18. That was one of the first ones that came in. So we've learned quite a bit from that. I don't think it requires any action other than to be very aware of that when those projects come forward. And we have put in language in the last project, and you'll see that when it comes forward to you. And so we've got to make sure that those components of the affordable housing do get built beforehand. So I don't see it as a project or any ordinances we need to tweak, but we just have to put in our conditions and make sure that we're watching those so that they do get built out, the affordable units, before the rest of the units are. So.
Okay, so it's a project-by-project requirement that we can make.
Yeah, one we have much more control over. And for example, I mean, the leases, definitely, if that's the way we go, that's great. And if they aren't done, we've got the mechanism of the contract for the hammer. And the other is more of a condition for the project. And even with conditions, there's always a variable, a risk of it not being done still, depending on the market.
Okay. Thank you. All right, so that's kind of in your hands, project by project.
I think that answers our question, and which is what we're doing as we see affordable housing projects as part of, you know, larger projects.
Okay, other comments on that, Gary?
Yeah, yes. I would very much like to hear how the city council individually feels on these things, because I know this commission and where they're pushing it, but I don't want us to push these things and then it come to you and you cut our legs off from under us. I'd like to know your direction on it.
Fair enough.
I was getting ready to comment that I think very much so that I would encourage you to always put the public benefit first, whether that's a sidewalk or a housing aspect of it or what. And I think Quintana and Main's another aspect of that, that we weren't going to get that sidewalk open. And absolutely, public benefit should come first. So I very much appreciate the work that you're doing on that. Bill?
Well, I think we ought to cut your legs off on a case-by-case basis, actually. But I was, to take one specific example, I was very disappointed in the way that the Main and Driftwood turned out. And in hindsight, I think that should have had to have gone first. Once we get those and get those ready to go, then we worry about the big-ticket items or the profit items.
I'll never cut your leg off for insisting on public benefit first. No problem there.
I often look at those plans when they come before us, and it's just a list of 35, 40 conditions, and it gets really tough to look at them at council level, but we do. But I think I would really advise you to put on as many conditions and to especially the timing of things. And concurring with the rest of council, I believe by now, that it's always the public benefits, the undergrounding that they should do, or the affordable apartments that they should do first, or the other benefits that come to the city, which were the result of a lot of negotiations. So, and apparently they have to be conditioned. You know, they have to be in there in legal language, because we can't do handshakes with people. We have to put them in black and white on the page.
I guess I have one question, and I don't know if anybody can answer it. Would having those kinds of requirements first affect financing of a project? I mean, to the point where they might not be able to get financing? That's the only thing that I would have a concern with, and how we would balance that to allow them to get the financing for the project but still have to put in public benefits. Mike, do you have a response?
Yeah, I think it does affect it quite a bit. So I think what we have learned from that is that we need to have that as part of the discussion. So when these come before the Planning Commission and ultimately they go before the council, is have that as a discussion component, letting the applicant express how the financing works, where is it coming from, and get a grasp of what the total scope of that project is, and then make some decisions about when the timing should occur based on reliable information that we're getting.
So have dates that, you know, as of this date, you have to have this much in.
Yeah, even like undergrounding utility lines and poles, you know, there's certain sequence contractors do. And so if it doesn't make sense to underground it right away, if they got to, you know, they got to complete more grading. So we'll just raise the level of discussion to the point that if it's a public benefit, we need to understand when is it going to come part of the project. Why is it at that point? What's the sequencing of their construction model? And then pinpoint that down so that they're very clear about when our expectation of that component should be completed.
And then ultimately, can we say, you know, no occupancy?
I'm certainly I see the wisdom in what Mr. Prater's saying, and rather than coming along and having us say, okay, you'll do the undergrounding first or that, because of the order that it needs to go in. But we've been, and I can, that's great, but as long as there's some teeth in there somewhere, because I think I have been sitting here too trusting too many times, and I've seen us burned a couple of times, and I've learned that you can't always take this stuff at what they say when they come up with the plans, and we're handed it. What happens on the plans and what gets built is not necessarily the same item, and so there has to be teeth somewhere. If they promise it, we better see it, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, looking at the time and the other items that got a lot of people wanting to discuss them, I would say let's combine the critique of the Planning Commission performance and any special project or focus that we'd like them to concentrate on in our comments to them. Does that sound good? Who'd like to start? Betty, you want to start? Okay.
I've been very pleased For the most part, I think you're becoming stronger in your expression and desires. The two most recent times I've disagreed with what you've done, and that's just my personal opinion, has been allowing permanent residency on the Embarcadero or in visitor-serving commercial areas. I think traditionally we've tried to get permanent residents off the Embarcadero, whether it's on lease side or the east side. I was a bit surprised and shocked about that one. My second one was allowing some condo conversions when all the standards for condos weren't met. They had the standards met for apartments, but they weren't met for condos. And so just make sure that you're covering all your bases and all the details of that. And maybe I missed something and they were, but from the way I read the staff report, that all the details weren't covered. Thanks.
Bill?
I think by and large, you're doing a tremendous job. I do think that sometimes you, like we on the council, we tend to get bogged down unexpectedly on minutia, and we bury ourselves on an issue, and sometimes it's just we can't see the forest for the trees, and sometimes it's a matter of micromanaging. But I think by and large, I'm very, very happy for the most part, although there have been a couple of meetings, both ours and yours, that can be very frustrating. One thing I would say as a sort of a, I don't know, word of advice. I was in a business where people did a lot of writing, and a lot of times you'd write something and you'd hand it to your superior, and they'd look at it and say, this isn't good, you need to change it. And the one thing I learned when I was having people hand stuff to me is, just because it's not the way I would do it doesn't mean it isn't right. And I think sometimes it's very hard to look at somebody else's work, and it's not a criticism of what you're doing, but just, as I say, a word of advice. Sometimes you look at what somebody's doing, and if it isn't the way you would do it, it doesn't feel good to you. And it's really difficult to step back and say, okay, I wouldn't do it that way, but is it right? Will it work? And as long as you can do that, I think you'll be just really effective.
Rick?
I don't hear bad things, so I guess that's good. I appreciate the knowledge and the dedication that you guys show and the service that you give. I'll keep my comments short because I think Mr. Luhr wants to address this handout that he gave us, so I'll hand off to Melody.
Well, some of you have heard from me, actually. You know that I watch your meetings pretty faithfully and will right away run into the other room, so you've already heard some things. But I would like all of us at Council and the Planning Commission to stay focused on city benefits and less concerned about what happens to applicants, shall we say. Less concerned about the developer. If it doesn't work for the city, tell them it doesn't work for the city, or tell them to make it work for the city. The other one I think I get aggravated about sometimes is when I see you guys, and I know you spend a whole lot of time, look at the paperwork you have in front of you tonight, but I think if something starts to look fishy or bad, I don't think you need to do a whole lot of working with the details here. And I've actually seen you like redesigning, I've seen us do it, and I'd rather not. I'd rather just send it right back to their office, but I can't send it back to their office. Okay, so I'd like you guys to send it back to them and let them work with it, not take up meeting time about it. And then every once in a while I hear this comment at the Planning Commission, oh, what the heck, you got to go before council anyway. I would prefer for things to get bounced back, not just handed forward. And then the final thing was the Beach Street project. As you know, we discovered at the council level that they didn't have legal sleeping units built in upstairs. And I don't know if that was happening at your level or at the planning staff's level, but at a council level, for us to discover that here, it's weird. And I have a feeling that that happened after you all saw it, actually, because we put the extra vacation unit. So I I know that we need to watch out for that kind of thing, and I would hope that staff would look out for that kind of thing.
Okay, my feeling is that I've been very impressed with you. I like the way you work with and against each other sometimes. I particularly liked on the neighborhood design guidelines the thought and study that had gone into that, and it was obvious from all of you. You didn't come to the same conclusions, but you really had, that's all I would say, but again, I've been very impressed. I like the different tangents some of you take. It's interesting to watch. So, okay. Anything else anybody wants to say? And then Mr. Luer did give us this. Was there something you wanted to comment on that to us?
Okay. I'll do that towards the end if you...
It is the end.
Okay.
The end is here.
Looking at the clock. Okay, there was a small group of us that got together. Like I said, Mr. Woodson, Commissioner Woodson, a couple of members of the original RUDAD committee, and I and a couple of business members in the downtown area. And we basically used the City of San Luis design, downtown design guidelines as our format and went through it and tried to make it work to work with Morro Bay. There's several things in here. This is a rough draft. It's a first draft, and it's basically, you know, what I would think would be to start the discussion. And what I see is we've got downtown visioning. The first downtown vision plan I saw was in 1954, and it's still out there. It hasn't gotten done. This I see is a portion of what downtown visioning can be, but it's also something that can be implemented rapidly. I don't think we have to wait for the general plan to come back. It can be done. It'll only take effect as projects come forward, and it will be developer driven. It'll be developer paid for, and it'll be a benefit to the city. It will also take create revenue by improving the downtown area with a consistent look, and when people come forward with designs, they'll have a set series of goals and design criteria that they can work to. So they're not bringing plans forward in the dark, and that costs money to them. And this will help ease the process and make the design and permitting process much quicker. So those are my views on it. I would like to see us put this out into the public and get some comment. I would like some comment back from each of you and from staff, and maybe we can get something going for downtown. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Just a quick question to Mr. Luer. I see that this is excerpted from... I see that this is excerpted from something.
Yes.
Could you tell me where the entire document is? Is there a copy at the library?
This is something that I took and with the permission of San Luis Obispo's city planning staff. They sent me the Word document. I put it on my computer, and we worked this as a hybrid of that. So
I understand. Just real quickly, okay. I'm just understanding this as part of a document. Is the entire document available anywhere for the public, like the library?
This is the first time it's seen daylight. So it will be available to whoever, wherever.
The date on it is May 2003. Maybe it's time to bring it out.
Well, that's the date that was the original document. I just finished it this lately. So I would like, I'm just submitting it now. We will, you know, there needs to be some spell checking and stuff. And then I would like to put it with the city. We can put it at the library. We can put it at the planning desk. And I can give a Word document to anybody who wishes it.
Thank you.
Okay, any other comments from council? I just want to add, you know, there's a really good balance on your commission, and I really like the input that each of you bring to it, and thank you for a good job. I think we all agree with that. And we are adjourned, and you can continue.
Thank you for your time. And gentlemen, we will reconvene in a moment.